We are back. It's the grandstand. Qatar just happened. Max Verstappen is a three-time world champion. It's F. Knowles. Pushan P. Money is here with me. What's going on, pal?
What's going on, man? As you enthusiastically said, Max is a three-time world champion. Well done. Let's move on, please.
I mean, it's pretty much what their radio sounded like after they won. Like, I've never heard a more subdued group of people after winning a world title, or like just like physically, just everybody was like, I mean, is it getting old for them at this point? Unclear.
Also, we're in Qatar where you can't really celebrate with champagne in the pit lane for the photos. They said right. They had a drink on Saturday night after the sprint, because they obviously wanted to focus on the race. And I don't know if you heard, like, Valtteri also, his race engineer said, yeah, you'll have a cold beer after the race. He's like, there is no beer at the hospitality. Like, pissed off. Like, oh, shit, I forgot where we were.
Yeah. Sneak it in. That's what I say. What are they going to say? You can't race here next year?
Yeah, they're all at the hotel bar.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Wonder who's paying that tab. Yeah.
It's probably somebody who has to do with the World Cup. But anyway, whoever got the Qatari bid for the World Cup is probably sneaking beer in. But yeah, Max is a three-time world champion. He won it on Saturday. Congratulations to him. But yeah. There are some more interesting things that actually happened this weekend, because I feel like we've been preparing for this for weeks. So when it did happen, and I'm sure they were too, they're just like, okay.
As usual, it was very exciting behind what Max did.
Exactly.
So that's the trend of 2023.
100%. Crazy conditions.
Question for all of you except Romain Grosjean.
To whom it may concern, fuck you.
More ladies in the paddock? Yeah, more paddock access to some women. There's too many dudes.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that, except that he was being a pussy.
It's an interesting weekend, this race. And you know, I did say on our pre-race episode that I'm not sure about this track, but honestly, I don't want to say fell in love with it, but it grew on me this weekend. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's a fun track. It's very flowy. There's some good corners to it. The curbs had to be readjusted, but yeah, all in all, I'm not mad at it. It's there's resurface as well, so they're trying to adapt what was a MotoGP track to cars now. So yeah. They're working at it.
Some big ass cars. Yeah, I mean, we had the sprint on Saturday where Max ended up winning the title, Oscar Piastri, which to me, there's a bit of an asterisk, but got his first win in Formula One.
Yeah, he won a race, but not a Grand Prix.
Not a Grand Prix, right.
How about that? Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, the there's been some criticism thrown Lando Norris's way about how...
Really?
You know, yeah, not. I don't even know if I'd call it criticism, but like some like finger pointing, just saying like, oh, you know, Oscar Piastri got his first win before you did. And
I think he pointed it out himself, by the way. He was like, joking, not joking.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in you know how Lando is, very tongue in cheek, but this weekend was an interesting one, I think, in for many reasons. Even before the race on Sunday happened, conditions were insanely difficult from a variety of different perspectives. You had really intense weather conditions as far as temperature and humidity were concerned. Track limits were catching out a lot of drivers. And then Pirelli just, you know, last minute saying this is going to be a three stopper for you guys. It kind of created a variety of conditions that to me really put a lot more pressure on the drivers. And when you add the weather conditions in, which for me, there's got to be a conversation about these tracks that are in the desert and racing at night, you know, 35 degrees Celsius. You know, there's a lot of them happening now. I don't know. And it's interesting. I wonder if it's good for the sport. It's definitely not good for the drivers. We'll see how Vegas goes too. I don't know. We'll see what the conditions in Vegas look like.
Well, apparently it's going to be the opposite in Vegas. It's going to be cold as fuck at night.
Right.
Coming back to Qatar. Well, what should we tackle first? The conditions, the Pirelli,
I think I've said my piece on the conditions. I think as far as the weather is concerned, you know, the drivers were gassed after this race. You would have thought they were racing in Singapore, honestly.
Everyone felt the heat. They were all trying to cool themselves in the cockpit. They were raising their visors up on the straight, trying to direct airflow. Sargeant had to DNF because of a heat stroke, but he also was coming in there with a viral, which doesn't help in these conditions. He probably had a fever as well during it. And yeah, good on him for actually making it pretty deep into the race, given those conditions. So it wasn't like it was just him giving up because he wasn't trained enough. He, you know, extenuating circumstances. But Albon said he had extreme dehydration. Stroll said he almost passed out. And Ocon said he threw up in his helmet. He told his race engineer on the cool down lap, and he said, not just once. He's like, it was over lap 15 and 16. So just,
oh my God, dude, you're just sitting in his helmet with fucking yak.
I know. I wonder if it's like illegal to change your helmet at a pit stop, but yeah. Can you imagine like just sitting there with this like fermented, not a good look.
Fermented. You had to bring the fermentation, huh? Well, I mean, Charles said it was probably the hardest race of his life physically, which
it's funny. A few drivers said that Piastri could barely stand up. Norris looked really good. And yeah, some people said the hardest of their life. And some drivers said, yeah, top five for sure. But yeah, clearly conditions were very tough. Okay, so on Pirelli,
yeah,
it kind of reminded me of the US 2005, where there was an issue with Michelin tires. And that's when the whole debacle happened with only six cars started. Only the Bridgestone drivers at the time, because we had a tire war. So for those who were kind of arguing we should bring a tire war back, like just keep in mind that we changed the track because certain tires were showing signs of extreme degradation. And for safety, we changed the curb, and Pirelli, you know, mandated that a tire could only do up to 18 laps.
Pirelli just re-sign their contract till 2027, so it's not coming till that.
Personally, I don't think that we should, because then it people are going to say, oh, you're only winning because of the tire. It's a mess. Like you always miss it when you don't have it, but when you have it, you're like, oh shit, this is why we don't like it.
You know, maybe we move to a different brand, but Pirelli's here to stay for a bit. So anyway,
but honestly, Pirelli, I think they're being more precautious since, you know, the Silverstone a few years ago, was it 2020, right, when Hamilton finished, you know, on three wheels and everyone was blowing up tires left and right. But yeah, for me, they did the right thing. It was either that or cancel the race. And there's not much you can do. Bit of weird conditions with the strategy then. Adding up to this, I feel that the length of the stints also forced drivers to be fully like at 100%. There was no tire management at all. And that did not help their level of fatigue at the end of the race. And do I want to see drivers exhausted because of the heat? No. But do I want to see them race harder and not drive at 90%? Yeah, totally. So
it's a little bit of a give and a take. Going back to the point that you made too, like the issues that we've seen with Pirelli in the past, the tinfoil hats can come out to a certain extent and be like, what is for Pirelli actually? I almost said Ferrari.
Yeah, hey, take it easy. Yeah.
we'll get to them later. what is Pirelli hiding? But it really, no, I think you're right. They made the right call. It was really about safety. You know, having tires explode or deg too much is not safe. So
no. And re-Qatar conditions, next year we'll be going back 6 weeks later, so that shouldn't be the case. Remember how the World Cup, the soccer World Cup, was pushed back? It'll be a similar situation. There should not be as extreme conditions next time. So.
Can't believe you just said soccer.
I know. I had to. It's for you. You know, it's for.
Oh, right. Thanks. It's not throw ball, aka
I'm just coming back from the US. You know, I went to see my first football game, Niners, yeah,
that's right.
Levi Stadium. You know, a lot of fun, by the way.
You know, another thing that came up too were track limits this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I want to ask you though is with track limits, if everybody's going over the line, do you just keep penalizing everyone to de-incentivize them, or do you find a new rule, or do you adjust the rules? Not adjust the rules, or because again, track specific. This is a former MotoGP circuit. What do you do?
Certain tracks have very little track limits offenses, and this one in particular, and Austria were just like out of control, and not everyone did get the track limits. You know, there's Gasly and Albon were severely hit with them. Perez, Hamilton, which is also why he didn't qualify so well on Saturday for the sprint. The two McLarens in Friday qualifying, that's why they were out of position. But there's some drivers that had no offense. I think Russell was one of them, and he wasn't the only one. So it is possible, and you just have to factor that in. For me, it is annoying, yes, but I think these are the best drivers in the world. They could figure it out also. So it's a bit of, it's again, a little give and take between how far do you go to penalize them and how lenient you are, depending on the track.
It's always going to be an issue, isn't it? At the end of the day,
can't put walls everywhere because then we'll just have crashes all the time. So
yeah, that's also not safe.
Or grass either, right? So drivers are happy on these new tracks when there's runoff and they can get away with something that they wouldn't be able to get away with in like Montreal or Monaco, where they'd be out of the race.
Of course. But going to the race, Max is on pole. The Mercedes were P2 and P3. George on the front row with Max, Lewis starting from P3, and holy shit.
On sauce. Do you remember my prediction on Saturday on our emergency podcast?
Would you like to?
I said Lewis P1 at the end of lap one, and I really thought that was going to happen. He had a great start.
Incredible start.
And then the Merck drivers came together. Hamilton sandwiched his teammate between himself and Max on the other side, and ultimately took himself out of the race, and as his first DNF of the year, first time he doesn't score points, actually. So big blow to Lewis, and there was a bit of drama. I was enjoying all the radio communication at the time.
I was watching the Arsenal-Man City match, which big ups the Arsenal, huge win for them this weekend. I had to get that in there.
That's right. 86 minute. Yeah. Right as the start was happening.
Right. It literally was almost at the start of the race. Watching it on my phone as I'm watching the match at a restaurant, and I was just blown away. Arsenal were kind of like blowing some great chances, and then I see the Mercs crash out. I'm like, oh great, it's gonna be one of those days. And on first glance, you kind of think, oh, that was George's fault. And then when you watch the replay over, you're just like, oh man, I mean, Lewis clearly didn't give him enough room. Lewis ended up taking full responsibility for it, you know, and I think they did this deliberately, but videotaped him going and apologizing to George, or at least, you know, I don't know.
Happy family.
The great big hug and a kiss from me to you.
Yeah, fuck you, George. I mean,
Lewis definitely took responsibility for that, and I think he had to, because ultimately it was his. Max defended really well at the beginning as well. You can't take that away from him.
Yeah, the two Mercs were on it. They could have been one and two by the end. Like, it could have been an amazing first lap for you guys, but ultimately, yeah, he owned up to it. But I would just like to say that Russell came out and at first he was pissed off, first of all, which is understandable. Lewis said, oh, I got taken out by my own teammate, when he was asked, like, are you okay? And then Russell said, that's twice in two races. So clearly, you know, there is like the beginning of some rivalry. They're not giving each other much space on the racetrack, and it will get spicy once they're at the front. I mean, it's clear. It's already happening for me. And whether they say they're working as a team or not, like there's clearly antagonism there between them two.
Well, the visual looks very reminiscent of Barcelona 2016 between Rosberg and Lewis. And that was a much spicier year. They were both in a title fight. But here, I think what you've got to look at is, yeah, I mean, even George on the radio was very telling. You know, obviously, like post race, calm down a little bit. You're not in the heat of the moment. And I think once Lewis looked at the replay and understood that it was, because he was like, my teammate knocked me out on the radio at first, right?
Yeah.
But then I think came correct in the end, and that's what you have to do. And you know, I think a Lewis from years past probably wouldn't have been as gracious about it, especially, and I think this year too, considering they're not in a title fight. But going back to what you said, Toto Wolff, who wasn't at the race this weekend because he got knee surgery, does Toto have a problem on his hands with these two? Because if Merck is going to make the strides that they say they're going to make next year, or at least hope to make, George and Lewis both can get a little hot under the helmet.
I mean, you have the young gun who's trying to prove himself. You have the 7-time world champion who wants to go for the 8th. Does he have a problem? He already has a problem, Toto, in my book. It's just that it'll be a bigger problem next year or whenever they start winning, which that's not a given either. You saw how Piastri and Norris in the cool down room were laughing at the fact that the two Mercs took each other out.
Pretty sure they said, thank you, Mercedes.
Yeah. He made a cricket reference when it's like when you bowl and you hit and it's kind of like a strike almost. Like, and then, yeah, we'll get to Piastri later. But yeah, they took it and it's unfortunate. And I will say, to Mercedes' credit, the PR is really good on it. If this had happened to Ferrari, everyone would be talking shit, like mad shit right now. And they'd be saying, oh, terrible operations. I think that Mercedes, first of all, should have discussed this option more seriously and should have made it more clear that if Lewis is on a soft tire, let him go. And the drivers need to take responsibility. Lewis did. Get it out of the way now. But if this happens next year, I think we're going to see a Nico Rosberg versus Hamilton 2.0.
Ooh, I don't know, man. I don't know if it go that deep, because the relationship was different between Nico and Lewis. But
hey, they were best friends until they started fighting for world championships.
Yeah, now they don't talk to each other.
You can say whatever you want, as long as you're not fighting for a title. It's all fun and games. It'll be the same shit at McLaren, my friend.
Ooh, well, we'll get to them in a second. You know, so Max had, speaking of teammates, Max had another great weekend, and his teammate,
great weekend. Yeah. Can I just give you three stats real quick? We don't have to comment on them. Max is closing in on the half century, 49th win, 10th hat trick, and 4th grand slam. Just like phenomenal. Well done.
Grand slam
is when you do pole position, you win fastest lap, and you lead all the laps of the race.
I don't know if I call that a grand slam.
I think that's the definition of a grand slam.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, but I don't know if that's the right grand slam. Shouldn't be the word. It's just I don't know.
Is your baseball fan offended?
No, well, yeah, it means there's that, and also like grand slam and tennis, and they're just. I get it. I mean, I can see why it's used, but anyway, caveat. It's
three very different definitions for sure in three sports.
So. Yeah. Anyway, point being, Max had his grand slam, and Checo did not. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, no. I don't know what the analogy for baseball would be, but maybe had to leave
struck
the stadium.
Struck out.
Yeah, struck out. Yeah.
He was like 1-for-4. No, he didn't get that one.
No idea what that means. Yeah.
No. Checo, let's just get the baseball shit out of here. Checo did not have a good weekend. He got caught on track limits multiple times. And it's at one point, it almost felt like he just didn't give a fuck.
He also got caught in an incident on the sprint, and he managed to score 1 point. Checo was 80 seconds behind Max. I think we're getting to the point where it's no longer, oh yeah, Checo has another difficult weekend. I've heard a rumor
Oh boy.
It's a rumor mill, but I wouldn't be surprised given it's from, you know, it's Red Bull. Is if Checo doesn't get P2 in the Drivers' Championship and Red Bull doesn't score a 1-2, which they have never done, by the way, if he doesn't get P2, he's out. No more race seat for next year. And it is a rumor, but I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, because with the car you're given, if you don't finish P2, man, it's just unacceptable for me.
Well, again, and it's also just overshadowed by the fact that Max has been so dominant in that car. So if Checo's having such a difficult time, you do have to wonder, you know, as a team, is this a guy who can do it for us? So, I mean, I've been very critical of Red Bull's management strategy. Obviously, the two of us have been. I don't particularly like it, but in this case, you know, and we're about to get to McLaren have scored more points than Red Bull in the last three races. And part of the reason is because Checo's not showing up. But you've got to look at the second driver there, and McLaren's on the come up, right? And I think Red Bull are genuinely concerned about what next year could bring, because we've seen, Mercedes has made ground, McLaren's made ground, could make the argument that even Ferrari has made ground.
They have made ground.
Yeah, no. Absolutely.
I just give me that one.
Yeah. Come on. You know, and Aston Martin, we'll see where they are next year. They've definitely showed up strong this season and then have kind of been nowhere ever since Canada. But
we were talking about on that point, the last three races, Red Bull has scored 74 points, McLaren 104, and Aston Martin, I'm just looking at this now, in the last three races have scored 13 points.
Jeez.
Damn, they're on a downward spiral, and McLaren took 38 points out of Aston Martin in the battle for P4, which now just seems inevitable. I'm a little bit worried about that P3 for Ferrari, because Ferrari didn't score that many points this weekend. And if McLaren keeps going on like this, we might have a problem at the end of the year.
McLaren, just another huge weekend. Let's just get to that. I think
huge,
you know, finishing P1 and P2 in the sprint P1 and P3, and then P2 and P3 in the race. Just a massive weekend for them. And another thing, like, Oscar Piastri has clearly shown, like, he's not to say that he hadn't before, but I think this weekend winning the sprint and then finishing in P2, wow. Like, the dude hasn't officially announced himself to the world, and I think everybody on the grid should take notice.
Yeah, I mean, we all knew he was
even
incredible.
Lando.
Yeah, and I was going to bring that up. I think Lando might start getting a bit worried, even though I think during the race, Lando had better pace. And if McLaren had let them race, he would have gotten that P2, and I would have gotten my points on the stand championship.
Well, you didn't.
Fair enough. Can't argue with the fact.
That's true. But no, huge weekend for McLaren, and I think it does make you wonder where McLaren could be with their 2024 car.
I can't wait.
I can't either, man. It's good. It's great. And just to think where McLaren was to start this season, I think makes it even more exciting. Right.
100%. And I'm looking forward to seeing this, you know, this, the teammate drama. We've got Merck on one hand, we've got McLaren on the other. It's all good. It's all very, very good. Teammate rivalry.
Well, so Ferrari this weekend, speaking of just quickly going to them,
tears.
You know, where do they stand in all this? I mean, Carlos Sainz has been kind of, ever since his win, you know, has been really, he's been great. He's been very good. And this weekend, just a tough one for him. A tough weekend.
Didn't even start the race, had a fuel issue. That's very rare, but this was definitely not a track for Ferrari, clearly. And I think Leclerc did the best he could. Car was really hard to drive. He was one of the drivers that was really affected by track limits. I would say he did a good job with what he had. But I am very, very disappointed, because when you see what happened to Russell, which, by the way, we need to give big props to Russell. First lap, yeah. He goes all the way back to P18, changes his tires, and he still finishes ahead of Charles. That hurts as a Ferrari fan, because I thought, great, we get Russell out of the way. Leclerc is going to move up. But the fact that he finished ahead of him, that one stings a bit, not going to lie, as a Ferrari fan. So
Yeah. I mean,
on and see what happens in the next races, because that was not a good race for us.
No. You know, and I think Charles, he was like, this is the best we could do as far as recovery. And yeah, just quickly to George, I mean, George, to take the P4 position after being punted out and still finish above the Ferraris, exceptional. And I think I give him driver of the day for sure. But again, man, it's kind of one of those situations with Ferrari. They're on it one weekend. They're not on a next on it the next. And you know, it does seem to be track specific, but I don't know, man. It also just feels like typical Ferrari, and I feel for you.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ferrari has outscored Merck in the last 6 or 7 races.
That's fair too.
We're not that far behind either, watch out if you guys keep taking each other out.
I think we're going to put that to rest for the duration of the season.
Let's hope so. I will bring up a point that this is Lewis's third big mistake in the last year. There was that versus Fernando in Spa last year, Piastri in Monza, and it's all very similar of like kind of going back and not seeing the other driver's front wheel and keeping an eye on this, wondering if Lewis is starting to lose his edge a bit here in wheel to wheel.
All right. I think you're getting a little ahead of yourself there, pal.
I know it's an uncomfortable conversation for you, Knowles, but you know, just keep an eye on it. Let's see how he does.
Cause I don't agree with it. I think
I remind the Albon incidents also in the last few years,
whatever. I don't know. I think this one especially was, I mean, it's just close racing. He made a mistake.
It was stupid. It was just no spatial awareness. That's what it was. I'm sorry.
Yeah. He should have gone a bit wider. I mean, he also was real late on the brakes trying to basically dive bomb on George, but anyway, we'll see. Well, we'll see what Lewis does. He's been, I mean, for my position, pretty spectacular this season, given the situation that Mercedes has been in.
Agreed. This is the stain on the season for me, for him. That's it.
Yeah, I would agree. It's not a good look, but you know, I think he owned up to it, and he's got to just perform the way he knows how to perform the rest of the season and close out strong and get that P2 for Merck. So,
yeah, which means that Checo is out of a seat. Still we rise, baby.
Well, I just mean, what I mean is the constructors.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's getting tight there.
So two quick pieces, though. Alfa Romeo at the back of the field getting ahead of Haas.
That's right.
Great, really strong weekend for them, finishing in the points, both drivers.
Double points. They brought in 6 points, which means that they've cleared Haas for 8th, which is a difference of $10 million. Dollars.
It's definitely not nothing.
Every point matters. That's how hard it is in Formula One. But yeah, big race. Very good from Guan Yu Zhou. His race pace is really good. Bottas also showed how his experience really came through as well. Like, yeah, well done. We put Alfa Romeo on the list of needs a result for a while, so I'm glad they got it.
They finally got it. You know, and who another person who's been on our needs a result list is Silver Spoon Lance Stroll. I'm going to let you take this one, man, because he finished just outside of the points, but
he's a driver who finished 9th and he got track limits and he got pushed back. I think that's what happened to him.
I mean, I'm going to let you take this. What do you think needs to change with little Lance?
I think we've brought it up a few times on the podcast, semi-jokingly, but at this point, a serious discussion needs to be had. It just doesn't seem that Stroll has I wouldn't say the skill, but he, when confronted to like an elite driver like Fernando Alonso, he can't hang. I'm 100% sure if you put Piastri in that seat, he will go head to head with Alonso. And I'm not saying he would beat him over a season, but it would be much tighter. I've just lost all faith in Lance's not driving skills, but mental skills at this point, and it's, he's really in a downward spiral, and the rumors of him maybe going to Le Mans with the Valkyrie are making a lot of sense. But then again, will that happen as long as his dad owns the team? He's not good enough for Aston Martin right now. If Aston Martin has the ambition to go forward, once again, I'll repeat it, if they had two drivers that scored relatively similar points, they would be P2 in the championship. And damn, they're slipping. Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, again, yeah, it kind of is. I'm not going to compare Checo to Lance Stroll, but in terms of situations,
both need a result. Yeah,
I was going to get a giggle out of you on that one. I'm not going to compare the two of them because I think Checo is a better driver than Lance, but
100% ex-teammates too. Remember,
ex-teammates, but I also think they're in similar territory. Let's put it that way, at their teams. On two completely different ends of the spectrum, granted. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah. Not a very comfortable position for either one of those.
No, it sucks. Definitely sucks. But yeah, man, Qatar brought out some interesting drama, some things I just didn't expect to happen. Brought up some storylines that I think are going to be really interesting to keep an eye on, mm-hmm, through the rest of the year and into 2024. But we also have our own championship to discuss, mm-hmm, and your boy F. Knowles made up some ground with my call that Lando was going to get P3.
Well, so I'll be gracious in defeat and say well done, but I'll say fuck you to McLaren for not letting them race, because I had put Lando in P2, motherfuckers.
Doesn't sound like very gracious to me.
Sorry, yeah. Did I say that out loud? Yeah. Yeah. Well done. Well done, Knowles.
Yeah. But it's 298 P money in the lead to my 290 points. Oof, it's close, it's getting, dude. It's tight. Yeah, this might be the tightest year we've ever had.
Oh man, it's gonna go down to the last race. Has to.
It certainly could, unless I completely bottle it. which, you know.
You never know.
Or you do, yeah. But I'm excited for this one. I mean, at least this is going down to the wire and not something's going down to the wire.
The Stan Championship. Stay tuned.
The most important thing. It's more important than the F1 Championship.
By the way, what'd you think of Max's golden black helmet for his championship?
Felt a little, Roman Emperor conquering a small village. Esque. I don't know. I didn't like it.
It's a little brutal for you.
I don't know. I just thought it was a little over the top. But yeah, you know what? If that's his celebration, then fine. I would have preferred him, like, you know, going crazy and celebrating with his team on, you know, and we could have seen it. But if he wants to have a golden black helmet, sure.
Oh man, you just don't like the guts. I thought the helmet looked really cool.
The helmet looked cool. If it was on somebody else, I'd probably like it more. But
yeah, watch Lewis do the same color scheme in Brazil, like, or something. Be like, best helmet in history.
All right, on this day, remind me that I said that if Lewis ever goes gold and black.
Okay, I'll have to write that down.
Anyway, it was a fun weekend. We've got Austin coming up in 2 weeks' time. Until then, make sure to give us a follow on social media at The Grandstand F1 and anywhere podcasts are distributed, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We've got our predictions for the Grandstand Championship next week. Until then, for P Money and myself, F. Knowles, we'll see you on the next one.